You have Knocker, the lawyer. I believe it's Tanaka. And then Jeff Blumhoff.
Hedlund versus Esch. Please come forward. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Kevin Tanaki, and may it please the court. So Raymond, so Jimbody, and Mr. Priddle. I represent the plaintiff in this matter, Sandra Hedlund, in reference to a lawsuit that was filed against the city of Hastings, and at that time, a police officer who worked for them, and then later didn't work for them, and continued to behave in inappropriate behaviors, which we believe violated her right to privacy. This is going to be a lot shorter argument because it's very simple. We didn't even have a trial. We haven't got to that point because this is a motion to dismiss. And the issue is, did the judge make a mistake by dismissing this case based on the argument that we made? But the standard seems to be that has the plaintiff pled cause of action based on the issues of law presented to him? And the quandary becomes here is this a case of intentional attention toward the reference to the behavior in the park of this gentleman in conjunction with other parks in the city of
Hastings. Is the appeal before us a substantive one or is it a procedural one?
Procedural one on the motion to dismiss.
But we have a political subdivisions tort claims act in our statutes that sets out a procedure for filing a tort claim and what happens after you do that. Is that correct?
You certainly do. This is
well, you filed an application that said it did. Your claim was filed under the Tort Claims Act.
The claim was, Your Honor, in these circumstances, that it's not alleged in this matter that this is under that in reference to an intentional tort. It was only under negligence and reference that it's filed, Your Honor. This is a specific intentional tort. And as the court is more than well aware, under the PSTR, in these circumstances, it outlines in that situation whether or not that's the problem with this argument. We never get to that point, Your Honor. We never get to a summary judgment. We never get to the issue to determine whether or not it applies. The sole issue in this matter was the district judge says it applied, you didn't plead it, you by inference based on the case law in the state of Nebraska, which are all required. The problem is there's no connection between these two lawsuits at this point, Your Honor. There's nothing even under the facts under Exhibit 1 and Exhibit 2 that indicate that, other than they arose out of the same circumstances.
On May 25th, you filed a tort claim.
That's correct.
And then on June 6th, you filed the lawsuit.
Filed a lawsuit for the intentional deprivation of the right of privacy on the part of this gentleman and the city and assistant city and another conspiracy.
Then why was the tort claim filed?
Because of the behavior that took place under the supervision issues of the city of Hastings that they negligently did supervise the gentleman, which has not been filed and has not been raised at this time. That's the issue here, Your Honor. We haven't got to that point very simply because under this situation, we don't have that type of lawsuit. And I'll tell you right now, you're right, I'm out of the store very quickly under one argument here. The problem is if you look at the case law, and the one that only seems to come up is Funk versus Lincoln, Lancaster County at 294 Nebraska at 517, I believe. And the problem is that's what you simply tell me. You didn't do what you're supposed to do because this is a lawsuit that has to be filed under the political tort claims, whether it's an intentional act or a non-intentional act. And then at that point in time, everybody has to go through that six-month period under this type of claim of defamation, i.e. seizing the right of privacy. Because for one reason, what we've got here is it all comes under the same thing. You've got to file the notices at that point in time, whether it's intentional or non-intentional tort. And because of these parties in this matter, that will have to be done. The problem is when you look at Funk versus City, it's either an anomaly or it's not precedent for what I'm arguing. But the problem is when you look at the basis and the circumstances under that, Judge Phelps seems to make one small distinction. He seems to be that there's a distinction between defamation and in this false light, those circumstances seem to And in those circumstances, if you look at the pleading, and that's what we're arguing about here, solely the pleading, and I'm not going to beat you down to the definition, that we're lost. All the time in this process of, can we sue a city here involved in this kind of intentional behavior? Can we sue a person that works for them and continues to behave that way even after they were sued? And that's what we've alleged. Do we get to have a lawsuit? And the judge in this matter says, you didn't call the PA in the court claim after any circumstances, so you're done.
Okay, let's stop just a second. I want to make sure that I'm following your logic. You're claiming that there are two separate lawsuits?
Yes, sir.
And the one lawsuit would qualify under the PSTCA.
Yes,
and that was filed with the city.
That was a negligence claim that was filed under the lawsuit had not become ripe, and at that point in time had not been filed.
And so that technically, as far as you're concerned, that at this point is still pending.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then there's a separate lawsuit for the, where you're alleging that the city allowed the officer intentionally to violate your client's rights.
Yes, Your Honor.
But the catch to it is that you're asking for monetary damages in both situations?
That's correct. Now, at a later time, they might have been joined or might have, but this basis, based on these pleadings, that's the only lawsuit that's before the court. Or dismissed at that point in time, finding that she has applied, of course, many did not. If you look at it again,
intentional acts are not covered by the political system.
Well, that's the issue. Or are we to the point, and I think, to be fair to the judge, he's only had this kind of analysis in the state of Nebraska based on the case law of the Nebraska Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals, because a unique issue has come up in the circumstances. But when you read the judge Kelch's opinion, the front person, Lancaster Crime Stoppers, it looks like it is an independent lawsuit that you have a statute of limitations for 4 years, and we are alleging intentional behavior on both defendants in this matter, before and after the employment relationship. Based on that, when you look at the problem, it's pretty clear in the record of problem, no allegations were made in reference to under the chief part to Political
Subdivisions Tort Claims Act.
Correct. Yeah. None of those allegations were raised. None of those answers were ever made. They went to trial in those circumstances. The only distinction I can find in the record, which didn't seem to stand out from the record that Judge Kelch relied on, is that it did appear that at least they tried the issue that the city provided to the court rather than the jury. The problem is there were absolutely no pleadings. There was no documents at that point in time that indicated that was necessary, appropriate, and required, or that at that basis that you could then be at the point, as the judge did in these circumstances, that we withdrew by our alleged acts of filing the lawsuit in these circumstances, that we withdrew the lawsuit. You just can't get there. This is not a political subdivision court claim act at this point in time. It's a private action against the city and the defendant for very intentional conduct. Based on those circumstances at this point in time, the judge made a mistake by dismissing this under low legal for those reasons. Because on the pleadings, it's insufficient.
So
I run out of my time, I'm sorry.
So the lawsuit that you filed the claim for, okay, so the lawsuit that you filed the political subdivision court claims notice for, what entity was that against?
It has not been filed. The notice is only
okay, so then the notice that you filed, who would be the defendant?
The defendant in those circumstances would be the city of Hastings, Nebraska.
And who would be the defendant in the lawsuit that you did file?
The city of Hastings, Nebraska, and defendant Jerry Esch, both as an employee and later as an individual. And that's what the complaint exhibit one outlined, John. It's before and after his employment continued, and there was still encouragement and intentional behavior by members of the police department of the city of Hastings, Nebraska, that continued this kind of inappropriate conduct. That's the lawsuit. That's what we've alleged. Maybe we can't prove it or not, but at this level, at this point in time, we still submit that based under the ruling that we have under Funk, at this point in time, it's to either change the law in the state of Nebraska, or it's an anomaly, and at this point in time, the judge is correct. And we have to have filed and followed through the procedure under the TSR to file this claim.
So as to the city in both of those lawsuits, you're alleging the same facts?
Similar facts, but not the same facts.
And seeking the same, seeking recovery for the same damages?
Yes, Your Honor.
But you think those two are separate and one can go forward?
Yes, Your Honor. Because it's premature at this point in time, to that point in time, they might have been combined on two different causes of action. One is negligence, one is intention. And then the state, at that point in time, if they were combined in their action, one was filed at that point in time, then there is intentional behavior on the part of the individual. Both the individual and the city intentionally behaving in that manner, and that is any negligence on their part, could be litigated with that issue among two separate causes of action. But at this point in time, we did not file it. It was not in that position. And we only filed the intentional action in reference to these two parties, and we believe that it still survived, and it does not fall under the tort claim. And that's the narrow issue here. The judge decided you didn't follow it, you filed it, therefore you must have intentionally withdrew your claim. Therefore, it's dismissed. On the pleadings of this matter, it needs to be reversed to the county court for further trial in the circumstances and or summary judgment or any other motion that would bring these issues rightfully before the court. At this point in time, based on this record, this matter should be reversed.
Thank you. How much time did we take him over? Please add that to the appellee's time. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
May it please the court. My name is Jeff Blummel, and I represent, may it please the court, counsel, and ladies and gentlemen of the audience, excuse me. My name is Jeff Blummel, and I represent the city of Hastings, Nebraska, and Jerry A. Esch, a former police officer with the city of Hastings, Nebraska, in this appeal.
You represent him both?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Do you represent him both individually as well as an employee?
Yes. The Political Subdivisions Tort Claims Act, which I'm going to refer to as the Act for ease, is a limited waiver of immunity, of sovereign immunity, meaning the legislature has decided that if you are going to sue a municipality like Hastings or its employees in tort, you have to follow the rules of the Act.
Regardless of whether it's intentional tort or negligence?
I believe that's the case, Your Honor. I believe.
Can you cite me where in the statute it says that?
Your Honor, that Nebraska 13-902 states, the legislature hereby declares that no political subdivision of the state of Nebraska shall be liable for the torts of its officers, agents, or employees, and that no suit shall be maintained against such political subdivision or its officers, agents, or employees on any tort claim, except to the extent and only to the extent provided by the Act. 13902.
Thank you.
So I think a tort is a tort is a tort when it comes to the Act. I think if you're going to sue in tort, then you have to follow the Act, and that's why we're here. Basically, the sovereign immunity means you have to follow these rules, or the Act says you have to follow these rules, and that's why we're here. We're saying you would be a panel.
I don't have the pleadings in front of me, but did the complaint that was filed in the district court, did it specifically set out this delineation between the two different theories and acts and all of that, or did it just do what I would assume it did, and that is, here's what happened on such and such a date, and you want damages?
I don't think it did. I mean, I think the claims that were titled in the Act are defamation, excuse me, it's entitled defamation colon false light slash invasion of privacy. And I think the substance of the complaint follows that those are the claims. And those are the only claims. I didn't see the word intention.
Was there a delineation between negligence and intentional acts?
No, I don't think so. Not that I recall, Your Honor. So
if there were, would that make any difference?
I don't think so. I think, again, a tort, I think it's a tort. I think everything alleged is a tort, whether it's intentional, whether it's negligence, non-intentional. I think, and again, I think the Act, again, I know of nothing in the Act that limits it to just negligence claims or anything like that. I think it covers all torts.
What effect, if any, do you believe the recent Supreme Court case in Funk would have on this case.
Absolutely not. I think Funk is completely about the waiver of immunity. I don't think we have this issue in Funk. I don't think this issue was raised. I think the issue was raised with the type of claim, the defamation or whatever it was, and is that exempt from the act? Because 13-910 is basically a list of, call them for lack of a better term, and I think I've seen it, sovereign immunity defense, affirmative defenses. It lists all of the claims for which the legislature has not waived sovereign immunity. And I think that was the issue in Funk. I don't think it had anything to do with the procedure. You said it earlier. I think this is procedural in nature, not substantive. So I don't think Funk has anything to do with this case. I just also like to throw out, and at the risk of being a complete fool, I only know one lawsuit in this action. There's one lawsuit in front of us on the record. I don't know where we talk about two separate lawsuits. We have the one complaint that we're talking about here that's in the record.
Well, as I understand it, the second lawsuit hasn't been filed yet.
Okay. Not sure what bearing that has on this appeal then.
Did the complaint make any reference to the fact that the notice had been filed on May 25th and withdrawn?
It actually didn't, Your Honor. We had to supplement the record with the affidavits of the city administrator, Joe Patterson, and the city clerk, Kim Jakovic.
Does that turn it into a motion for summary judgment?
I think it does. I think it does when you offer that kind of evidence, but regardless, it can also, on a motion to dismiss, Rule 6-112 also states that the court can consider materials that are part of the public record or do not contradict the complaint, as well as materials that necessarily embrace the pleadings on the motion to dismiss. So I think even on a motion to dismiss, you can have extrinsic evidence. We viewed this as a motion for summary judgment when we turned into a motion for summary judgment. Excuse me. We filed it as a motion to dismiss, I think, if I recall, thinking we weren't going to have any additional evidence, but we decided when we looked at the record that we would. And so we offered that evidence. It was accepted over no objection. And I think that I thought it turned into a motion for summary judgment. The judge's ruling says the motion to dismiss was sustained. But again, I think the rule also shows that even if you offer evidence, it can still be a motion to dismiss as long as the evidence falls within those parameters.
I want to make sure I didn't misunderstand what you said. Did the appellants in the initial complaint that was filed in court allege that they had filed with the city under the act?
I don't think they did, Your Honor. They certainly did not attest to court claims.
That's where their contention is, that this is a separate action that does not require them to take it to the city before they file it, right or wrong.
Right.
That's what I understand the position to be. And so when you offered those two exhibits to establish that they had filed a claim under the act without objecting, have they now waived their right to say that they were two separate matters?
I don't know if they've waived their right, but I think if you look at the substance of the complaint, regardless of whether they attached a tort claim notice or said anything about it,
But if their contention is that this is a separate matter and has nothing to do with the act or filing the notice with the city under the act, then those documents that you offered would be irrelevant, wouldn't they?
I don't know that they're irrelevant, and I guess
because they say you don't even have to file them.
I just think that's dead wrong on the face
of
the complaint.
Well, I understand, but I'm just trying to put things in order here. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, right or wrong. I mean, we want to make sure that we cover all the bases. And so it just concerns me that if you offered that and they didn't object, that they really have nothing to do with the lawsuit because their contention is that they didn't need to be bound by something. Right?
I don't know. I don't know if I follow that. I guess the evidence we offered is directly in line with the complaint. And if you look at the tort claim notice and the allegations in the complaint, it's pretty much the same. I mean, it's clearly the same matter.
But they say it's intentional.
I don't think so. In the lawsuit, you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think it clearly says that. I think the reason we did it is because they're torts. And most people generally will attach, and I understand now where you come from, most people will attach the tort claim notice and allege that they need to be in compliance. I guess the question comes, and why was your tort claim notice even filed? If you look at the two, and I think you look at the records, they're the same. They're basically the same.
It's my understanding is because their contention is that that wasn't unintentional. That was negligence.
For the tort claim notice?
For tort claim notice.
Right.
At least that's my understanding.
Okay.
I guess another way to ask this is, had they just filed the lawsuit without filing the tort claim, what would your response have been to that?
I think the response would have been the same. We would have said you didn't comply with
yeah.
that.
We have a tort claim. We have a tort claim, and you didn't follow the procedure.
It's still alleging a tort. That's I said it again. A tort is a tort is a tort, and I think any tort has to. They have to follow the rules of the act, and that's just exactly what we did not have. And I think this falls in line with the Geddes case we cited, where that case was even less. It's strange in that they filed the tort claim notice. They waited what they thought, I think, were 6 months to sue on it, because that's what you have to do under the Political Subdivisions Tort Claims Act. You have to give the political subdivision 6 months to dispose of the claim. They can either act on it or not act on it. But in those 6 months, if they don't act on it, you can't file a lawsuit according to the Act. So you have to wait that 6 months. So in Geddes, what they did is they thought they waited 6 months. They waited basically 1 day before the 6 month time frame came up, withdrew their claim. The plaintiff withdrew their claim from the political subdivision, which is what you're supposed to do, and then subsequently filed a lawsuit. The court found that they withdrew the claim prematurely. They did not give the political subdivision the 6 months. One day before the 6 months expired. Motion for summary judgment. They dismissed the complaint. Here we have a notice filed, and roughly 2 weeks later, they filed a complaint, which, and I wish we would have stated this in our brief, filing of a complaint is basically the same thing as withdrawing a claim. There's a Malzahn versus Transit Authority, U.S. Nebraska Supreme Court case which says that. So basically what they did when they filed the complaint on June 9th is they withdrew that tort claim notice, their tort claim that they filed on May 25th. We think, obviously, this is pretty straightforward, and that the time frames are the time frames, and when you're dealing with torts, they just simply have to follow the provisions of the Act. We ask the court to affirm the decision of the district court.
No questions. Thank you very much. I believe the appellant is out of time. Is that correct? Thank you very much. I appreciate both of you being here today. The matter is deemed submitted, and you are excused.